Heaven's joy is when God's joy becomes our joy. Let me put it another way, because some of you are like, what? Let me do this. The joy of heaven, heaven's greatest joy, is when the joy of God becomes the joy in us. Heaven is so fired up when heaven sees the joy that is known to God becomes the joy that is found within the children of God.
Well, hello and welcome to Live in the Light. Hey, when was the last time you read the Gospels and thought, this was written just for me? Well, we're tracking at Live in the Light here through a unique series in the book of Luke, looking at Luke's parables and seeing exactly that, hey, these were written just for me. And today's message takes us to a story, a great story of rejoicing. And Robbie, we've been saying this a lot here. Jesus is telling stories, right?
That's right. It's story time, and today specifically is a story of rejoicing. And this message will open up with a quote from C.S. Lewis, who said this, that joy is the serious business of heaven. Do you realize that, loved one listening today? Joy is the serious business of heaven. The Lord sent his son to die that we might know the joy that is found in him alone. And this story today depicts that exactly. So this parable is exciting, and if we get it, we will see God's joy and then our joy being found related right to where he is and him in us. So I do pray today we would find ourselves rejoicing in the greatest message ever.
All right, well, a story of joy, and listeners, it's just for us. Let's get in our Bibles to Luke 15, and let's hear Jesus tell us the story of rejoicing. Here again is Pastor Robbie.
We find ourselves today in Luke chapter 15, again, a story of rejoicing. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, joy is the serious business of heaven. That's pretty cool. And that's very true, as we're going to see today. Joy is the serious business of heaven. But make sure you know this. Heaven's not trying to hoard the joy. Heaven's not saying, oh, it's mine, you can't have it. Heaven's like, I want as many people as possible to know the joy that we have and the joy of God that would become the joy of us. Here's really what we're trying to do today, and here's where we're going. It's a bit of a wordy phrase, but I hope you will listen carefully and understand how impactful this little phrase is as we look at parables in Luke today. It's this. I want you to think about this. Heaven's joy is God's joy becoming our joy. Let me say it again. Heaven's joy is when God's joy becomes our joy. Let me put it another way, because some of you are like, what? Let me do this. The joy of heaven, heaven's greatest joy, is when the joy of God becomes the joy in us. Heaven is so fired up when heaven sees the joy that is known to God becomes the joy that is found within the children of God. So again, joy is the serious business of heaven. And that being said, heaven is on a mission to find God's joy in us. More specifically, Jesus Christ is on a mission. He is on a mission with his gospel to see his Father's joy, his joy, the Spirit of God, God's joy, to be planted and found as the fruit of our lives. Jesus said in John 15, Jesus said in the context of him, his words abiding in us and us abiding in him, he says, these things I have spoken to you. This is amazing. Listen, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Wow. So Jesus says, the reason I have come to teach the words of my Father, to instruct you in the way of life, is ultimately that you might know my joy and that the joy that you have for me in you may be full. Jesus is looking to share his joy with us. Jesus wants to see his joy be rooted in us. And what we see today is the Savior will stop at nothing to see that this happens. The Savior will stop at nothing in placing his gospel in his children that his joy might be seen. He will call for you. He will search for you. He will persevere in this. He will find you and he will allow you to know his joy. He's looking to do that again today. And here's what's also amazing from our text today. When he does find us and when he saves us, listen, joy erupts. Joy erupts in us, but even better, we see in God's word today, joy erupts in heaven. Joy erupts in the Father himself. Joy erupts in the angels. When the Father saves a lost son or daughter, he says, come here, come here. There's a party happening. My child was lost, but now is found. And the heavens reverberate with the joy of the glory of God. That, loved ones, is absolutely amazing. So our application today really from the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin today, our application then is this. If joy is the serious business of heaven, let's give heaven our business. Amen? If joy is the serious business of heaven, man, sign me up. Let's give heaven then some of our business. Now, we're going to pray because we believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. Do you believe in prayer? Okay, so that being said then, so often pastor prays, and the people listen, and not that you fall asleep or something like that, but here's what I wanted, just thought, Lord led me to do this week, is I'm about to pray, what would happen if every person in this room, genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, genuinely agreed with this prayer? What if all of us together in the unity found in Christ, what if we prayed right now, God, would you take your word and explode it with joy in our hearts? What if the hundreds of people, whether in here or outside, wherever else, you agreed with this prayer? And what if we prayed together, Lord, would you take light and shine in this place that darkness flees? God, would you take the glory of your gospel and for people who are sitting here discouraged right now, that they might know supernaturally the encouragement of Jesus Christ? What if we all together decided right now to say, I am going to wholeheartedly and sincerely believe in prayer, and we're going to ask that you deliver us from evil and you cause us to know and you will find us and you will save us and you will cause us to know your love. What if we all prayed this way right now to the Lord? I think God will use that, do you? So let's do that then. As I pray, you agree with me. And maybe there's some people in here right now with the wrong intentions. Maybe the Lord will work in such a way that their intentions will be changed to right intentions by the end of our time together in word. Wouldn't that be so glorious? So all that to say, we pray not just because we're supposed to, we pray because we have to, and God uses that. So I'm going to pray, and I just ask right now, Lord, the family of God is agreeing, the family of God in this place, the bride of Christ is joining in this plea to you and this petition. Lord, as the psalmist says, that we will be vindicated by the presence of God, I pray your presence would dwell with us. Oh God, I pray that you would grant freedom. I think of the individuals here right now, Lord, who are fighting to get through another day. Lord, how cold it is outside, and yet how cold our hearts can become too. And there's fear, Lord, and again, great discouragement. And wondering, Lord, how is this going to happen? How will I get? I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as we agree together, may light shine so powerfully, oh Lord. May hope be found. May your word speak so clearly, God. And you will be searching for people today. You will be searching through your word to grab hold of hearts. And you will be calling people to yourself, Lord, just as you've done this weekend already. And I pray that might be so. We agree in the name of Jesus Christ. Light shine in darkness. Hope, Lord, take away fear. I pray love would replace hate. Oh God, I ask that you would do what only you can do. Together we pray this, so that you would be inclined to hear our prayer, Lord. As the psalmist pleads over and over again, oh God, hear my prayer and respond to this plea. Would you do that, Lord? Hundreds and hundreds of your people right now seeking you in this way. Surely, Lord, you will act. Surely, God, you will relent because you are a kind and good Father. You are so generous and so loving. Surely, oh Lord, you will meet with us now and work in our midst. The time is short, and even this time right now, Lord, is relatively so brief, but I pray you would use it to the maximum fruit of your glory. Today's a story of rejoicing. And I pray we would know that joy. I pray we would feel that joy. Oh God, you hear this prayer and use it then, Lord, use it. You hear the prayers of your children and you love us, Lord. And so may we see this now. May we see this now and know this now. And dare I ask, Lord, may we feel this now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Thank you for agreeing. Luke 15, verse 1 says this. Now, this is a passage of joy. The first two verses, not so much. At least one of the verses, there's not so much joy, but we're going to see how this is a passage of so much joy. Verse 1. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, not so much joy there, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So Jesus told them a parable, which said this, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he, the shepherd, has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Living the text, just imagine the shepherd doing that. The lamb on his shoulders, he is fired up with joy. And when he comes home, he calls together friends and neighbors saying, come on, come here. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And here's the point of Jesus' parable. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And then in verse 8, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently, here's a phrase said in both parables, until she finds it, relentlessly searching for what was lost. Verse 9, and when she found it, calls together friends and neighbors, come here, rejoice with me, I have found the coin that was lost. Here's the point of a parable in verse 10. Just so, Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But again, look at the first two verses again first, because this is our context right here. This is such an important point. And before we get to the positive aspects of joy, we need to start with the negative. At least half of it is negative. Look at verse 1 again. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Again, here's our context. Here's our first point. It's negative, but we have to see it before we move on. When it comes to joy, notice this. Religious, self-righteous pride is a killjoy. And the question of that is that me? Is there any of that in me? We're going to learn right now that religious, self-righteous pride kills joy in our lives. Is there any of that within me? I've always loved Psalm 16 that says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. In the presence of God, what happens? When we come into the presence of God and we know it, the presence of God is amazing. Because the presence of God, we are aware of God's mercy. In the presence of God, we are aware of God's grace, undeserving to us. In the presence of God, we see his beauty. We know his glory. We sense his love. In the presence of God, we are overwhelmed at the grace and the goodness of God. In the presence of God, there is a profound and supernatural joy because there's nothing like being in the presence of God. This is what happens when he shows up. We know joy. Some of you have never really known the presence of God. Beg God to show you. There is nothing like it. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, everything else in the world tastes like dirt. Because nothing compares to the glory of Jesus Christ. We long for his presence. We long for his Holy Spirit to fill us. We long to know his joy. Because when you have the satisfaction of Jesus Christ in your life and his joy, again, nothing else comes close. And this is what we want. This is what we pray for. This is what we need within our lives. Please, God, may it happen. Again, notice in verse 1 then, notice the tax collectors and sinners, it says, were all drawing near to hear him. And here we find the despised of society. Tax collectors were seen as worse than the Gentiles or the heathen. Jewish people hated, they loathed tax collectors, could not stand them, would not go near them. And then we see sinners in the text. Sinners are prostitutes and the like. Again, people who are despised in society. But notice this, that all the tax collectors and sinners, they were all drawing near, in this context, to hear Christ, not to touch Christ, not to be healed by Christ, to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. The message he was sending was a message that was drawing them near. I want you to notice, too, in our context, look at the passage that precedes Luke 15. You will see there in Luke 14, verses 25 to 33, it's the passage on the cost of discipleship. This is what Jesus is preaching on. If you don't take up your cross, you don't follow me, you're not worthy of me. He ends with, if you don't renounce all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. Last time I checked, that's pretty hard truth. That's hard truth. And yet, because Jesus is full of grace and truth, not compromising on truth, loved ones, not compromising on truth, full of grace and truth, even still, all the despised in society and the lowly long to be near him. And here's what we find out is when the lowly draw near, listen to this, the closer they get to Jesus, the more they hear. And the more they truly hear him, the more they're transformed. And the more they're transformed, listen, the more they know joy. They know the joy of Jesus Christ. What is the Bible telling us yet again? It is the humble, it is the broken that truly hear Christ, that draw near to Christ, that know the joy of Jesus Christ. God works within the poor in spirit. God works within the humble. God works within the broken, and the broken know his joy. Listen, listen, the humble and the broken love him. They love Jesus. The more humble we are, the more broken we are, the more love we will feel for Jesus Christ, because the more in that moment we know he's all we got. Conversely, the pride in us, or the proud, they will not love Jesus, because the proud look to self and they reject the Savior. And this is what happens within our text too. Standing at a distance now, staying on a distance both physically and spiritually, you have the Pharisees, but they're not filled with joy. Look at verse 2. It says they're grumbling. They're grumbling, they're murmuring, they're complaining, they're grumpy, they're bitter. Listen, they are joyless. Have you ever noticed in Scripture, the closest the Pharisees get to Jesus, the closer they get, the more miserable they become? The Pharisees are always portrayed as miserable men. They start off by being cynical of Jesus. It's amazing. They're so grumpy as Jesus. Who is this man? What is he talking about? Where does he get off saying these things? And inherently, the reason they don't like Jesus is because they want to be like Jesus, in the sense they want his glory. They love themselves. They love their own pride. They love money. Jesus is threatening their kind of jurisdiction and their authority. And so they don't like him. They go from cynicism, though, and the closer they get to him, they start to despise him. They loathe him. The closer, the further the gospels go along, then they want to hurt him. Then they want to destroy him. Then they condemn him. In the end, they crucify him. The closer they get to Jesus, the more they hate him. That's what pride does, because they are saying, who you are, you threaten us, and we want to be God, we want to be kings, we want the power, and we want the glory, and therefore, if you stand in our way, we hate you regardless of who you say you are. This is the devastating impact of pride and religion and self-righteousness within our lives. But it's a wonder to me, in two verses in Luke 15, you have one Savior and two groups of people who are vastly, vastly held apart. Think about this, between the two groups of people, tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees, the Savior of the world is before them. The hope of all hurt is before them. The defeater of death stands before them and talks to them. And one group of people loves him and the other group of people loathe him. But what's astounding to me, and again, this is the awful nature of pride. The reason the Pharisees loathe Jesus Christ is because Jesus Christ loves sinners. They hate Jesus because Jesus loves. They can't stand the fact that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. the people they would never be seen with, the people that they do not respect and do not want, because their ultimate complaint is, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Again, they hate because Jesus loves. How awful is that? But the Pharisees, they thought they were being religious. They thought they were being righteous. Because tax collectors and sinners were those of bad reputation. They were those outside the standards of the law. To hang out with such people, that was considered contamination. And to eat with them, listen, was unthinkable to the Pharisees. And so filled with religion and judgment and self-righteousness and with hard-hearted pride, they condemn Jesus and they get so grumpy. Now there's so much here in these first two verses, loved ones, but let me guide you towards this truth. Religious, self-righteous pride will kill our joy. It's the Pharisees Jesus spoke of and said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They have so much law in their heads, but it blocks the love from their hearts. It's like they have a valve at their neck where they have the information, but the valve gets closed and then the information cannot result in transformation. The Pharisees have a form of spiritual heart disease. Their arteries are clogged. The blood will not flow and you cannot know the true joy of Jesus Christ without the blood of Jesus Christ. But self-righteousness says, I do not need the blood of Jesus Christ. Pride says, I do not need to be forgiven in Jesus Christ. Self-righteousness says, I'm good on my own. My works, my effort, my external means will get me into heaven, which is such and such a lie. It's the humble that say, I need the blood of Jesus Christ. I need the forgiveness. But again, the Pharisees have this form of spiritual heart disease, and therefore pretty soon they will have a heart attack and they will die because they will not receive that which can only be offered through the life that is found in Jesus Christ. Again, it's amazing to me. They are beside Christ, but do not know Christ. They look at Jesus and speak with Jesus, but they cannot see Jesus or hear Jesus. It's the pride that blinds them. It's the pride that kills their joy. The living water is literally flowing right beside them, but they would prefer a cup of mud instead. Every day there's the living water of Jesus Christ flowing. All they have to do is reach out and drink some, but they will not because they cannot see and they're too hard of heart. And again, they prefer the filthy cup of disgusting mud as opposed to the living water of Jesus Christ. They are so concerned with selves, they have no love for the lost. Again, they fail to recognize the very reason Jesus came. Luke 19 was to seek and to save the lost. Now, loved ones, let's be very, very careful. It's so easy for us to look at the Pharisees in verses 1 and 2 and be like, man, those guys were awful. I think what's so important for us to stop and to ask ourselves is, I believe there's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. And our starting point right now is to say, if religious self-righteous pride kills joy, where is that in me? For some of us, it might be 2%. For some of us, it might be 50%. The wise question is to say, where's the Pharisee in me? Where's the Pharisee where I start relying on religion and self-righteousness and my own pride? And listen, it's killing the joy within my life too. Here's a good question. Why is it some of us have so little joy? Why is it some of us right now just find ourselves fighting its anger, misery, grumpiness? Why is that? Could it be that we're holding on to things outside of Jesus Christ? Could it be that we're relying on religion and our own self-righteousness? Could it be that we're just so stuck in our pride, we will not let the love of Jesus Christ begin to trickle down and flow into our lives, that we might start to be softened and broken and shed some tears of repentance and truly know the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ? Could it be? Where's the Pharisee in us? You know, there are churches across this land that are on the verge of dying with 17, 19 people, 23 people in them. And they're so focused on, not all, but some are so focused on legalism and religion and rules. They have this little group of people and no one else is effectively allowed to enter. And the moment someone does walk in, they are sent to the back, they are judged, they are held at a different standard. And really a sinner wouldn't dare darken the doors of these churches because the moment they do, all they get is judgment. That's not Jesus. That is not, some of you grew up in such a system. Some of you grew up in such a condemning, legalistic, harsh, truth-only, law-only environment. That's not Jesus. That's Pharisaical, and it kills our joy. And did you ever notice within those such gatherings as they begin to die off because Jesus Christ left that church a long time ago? Have you ever noticed there's just not joy there? It's just rules and rules and rules and rules. And there's one excommunication after another. because all it is people condemning each other out of religious zeal for something Christ never even asked us to do. But it's easy to look at that kind of situation too, but now we have to look at ourselves. Where is religion killing my joy? Where is self-righteousness stealing my joy? Where is pride seeking to destroy my joy? Where's the love that we are to have for the lost? Because you have to understand, God's greatest joy in our text today is when he finds lost sinners and he saves them. Do we share the same joy? Do we share the same joy of what God feels for our lives in this way? And also we ask ourselves this, because the Pharisees couldn't stand that Jesus was hanging out with those who were lowly. Do we have a heart for tax collectors and sinners? Here's a better question. Do we realize that we are tax collectors and sinners? Every person before Jesus Christ is dead, the psalmist says, I have no good apart from you. And Romans chapter 3, Paul says, no one is righteous, no, not one. Romans also says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we all see ourselves theologically as we truly are before Jesus Christ. We are all in desperate need and we are the tax collectors and sinners. And that's why Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. I have not come to save the righteous, but sinners who know they need repentance, Jesus says. Do we share that heart? Because if we share that heart and if we find joy in seeing those who are most despised and rejected save in Jesus Christ, then we share the joy of God. Which leads us to our second point then is this. Lost sinners found is God's joy. Question, is it mine? When lost sinners are found, it is such the joy of God. The question is it mine? So Jesus, what he does in response to the grumpy, joyless hearts of the Pharisees, he begins to tell them a parable to explain his joy. The story now of a lost sheep and the story of a lost coin. Now, this would deeply resonate with the rural Jewish community who are listening again to this, to these stories being told. The men would especially resonate with the story of the lost sheep, and the women would especially resonate with the story of the lost coin. Here first is the story of the lost sheep. Verse 3, Luke 15 says, so he told them this parable, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one, does not leave the 99 in the open country, go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and he comes home. Rejoice with me, friends and neighbors, for I have found my sheep that was lost. The story here is simple. The shepherd has 100 sheep. One gets lost. He leaves the 99 in the open country. And the shepherd, notice, will search until he finds the sheep, until he finds it. He will not stop looking. Once the sheep is found, he rejoices. He rejoices with friends and neighbors. He comes together. The shepherd will not stop until that one sheep is found. And then Jesus says, and what about the parable of the lost coin? It's probable here that the coin that was lost from this woman was part of a headdress that was worn from women who were married. And it's possible here the coins in her headdress represented her life savings. So it's possible then that this woman had just misplaced or lost 10% of all that she owned. You can understand then the urgency of, I need to find this, because this 10 coin headdress was valuable to her monetarily, but also symbolically as it related to her marriage. Notice in the parable of the lost coin, notice in verse 8, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. So notice the diligence of her search. Lights the lamp in her small little home there, sweeps the house with all the straw that would probably be on the ground. And notice she will not stop until she finds it. She will not stop until the coin is found. And when she does, she rejoices. There's the joy. Neighbors, friends, come. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me.
And loved ones, just a reminder, we would love here at Live in the Light, we would love to hear from you if God's been moving in such a strong way, maybe even just today, providing you with that great message of hope. Our phone number is 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. Or you can reach out to us via our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.